Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to GNAC Insider, the show that takes you inside the Great Northwest Athletic Conference. Hear from student athletes, coaches, and administrators from one of the premier conferences in Division II. Now, here's your host, Rob Lowry.
From Portland, Oregon to Lacey, Washington, and from Seattle, Washington to wherever it is you may be listening, welcome to GNAC Insider, your weekly look at the Great Northwest Athletic Conference. Coming up a little later in tonight's program, we'll wrap up what happened around the GNAC last week, take a look ahead to what's coming up in the GNAC this week, and also don't blink, because a little later in our program, we're going to have one of the fastest performers ever to appear on GNAC Insider. Seattle Pacific sprinter Grace Bly will join us a little bit later this evening. Also, Tyler Fitchett, St. Martin's golf standout, is going to join us a little bit later. But right now, at the top of tonight's program, it is my honor to be joined by the head softball coach from Concordia University, Shelley Whitaker, joining us tonight from Portland. Shelley, thanks for joining us on GNAC Insider.
Hey, Rob, thanks for having me tonight.
Well, I've got to talk to you about the play of your Concordia squad. You were, frankly, picked last in the GNAC coaches preseason poll, and I know you're aware of that, but you entered the GNAC championships as the number three seed, so certainly you have exceeded at least the expectations of your fellow coaches. What has made your Cavs program so successful this year?
I think it's a combination of a couple things. I think they underestimated our recruiting efforts. You know, I put in a lot of time over the summer, and whether it was our incoming transfers that we received or our freshmen stepping up and stepping in, I think, you know, at the end of the day, to me, recruiting is your lifeline to success. And I think on top of that, I've had Angelina Mexicano and Leslie Poole as assistant coaches, and I just added Robert Esaias in the offseason this summer as well. And I think the combination of, you know, recruiting and coaching efforts just took us you know, from where we were, and I was happy with the amount of work that we had done to a point, but it takes a little bit extra effort to get above and beyond. And I think, you know, that's what helped us kind of take that final leap.
Now, you have a very extensive pedigree in coaching. You've coached 5 All-Americans, 11 All-Region players, 43 All-Conference selections, 35 academic All-Americans as well. And I know that academics is important to you as well. But when you're scouting, what do you look for? How can you tell that this player has it, and whatever that it is for your Concordia program? How do you know that that particular player is going to be a fit for the program, and conversely, the school will be a fit for that player as well?
Yeah, you know, I think when we're out there recruiting, everybody wants, you know, the top stud out there. They want the pitcher throwing, you know, 67, 68 miles an hour, the top shortstop. But I think that we have to look a little bit deeper. And I think the big thing for us, and the number one thing I look for, is field presence. Do they bring it? When you look on the field, where's the focal point? And I know pitching is, you know, it's got the circle around it and everyone's attention goes straight to the pitcher. But I think, you know, whether you're a shortstop, first base, you know, center fielder or catcher, the field presence that you bring and the enthusiasm and attitude that you bring to the field itself is something that is drawn to me right away. And, you know, secondary, what are the grades like? You know, for us, we're looking at 3.5 GPA coming out of high school. And then beyond that, are you willing to move? You know, I know when I first took this program over, when I was looking at the existing roster, most of the student athletes were from Oregon, Washington, a couple from Canada, and we've extended out now. You know, we've extended to Hawaii, down to Northern California, Southern California, and out into, you'll see some players coming in from Arizona and Utah for next year too. So I think, you know, just expanding the recruiting base and getting our name out there. I know the Concordia schools, you know, 5 to 7 of us out there, the name is out there, but specifically Concordia University Portland and what that means to us, what it means to softball and the type of play that we, you know, the expectations, the type of style of ball that we play up there, getting that name out as well.
You talk about players being willing to move. You yourself personally were willing to move. 3 years ago, you were serving as an associate athletic director at Yeshiva University in Manhattan, New York, and you've come all the way west. Now, I want to talk about the move in just a moment, but you told me something extremely interesting before we began tonight's GNAC Insider, and that was, as the associate athletic director, you actually worked on the men's campus of Yeshiva University as compared to the women's campus. Talk a little bit about what you did there at Yeshiva University.
Yeah, when I made the move in, I made the move across from coast to coast three times now. So I was located down in Southern California when I decided to take the position in New York City. And when I took that, I got out of coaching and went straight into administration as associate athletic director. And you're correct, I was up at the men's campus. Yeshiva men's campus was in Upper Manhattan, and the women's campus was in Manhattan proper. So as an associate athletic director, I was dealing both with the men and women, but with separated campuses. And anyone who's been to New York City, you know, although Upper Manhattan and Manhattan proper are not far distance-wise, time-traveling-wise, they certainly are or can be troublesome getting from one campus to another. But as associate athletic director, directed everything from compliance, eligibility, ordering, tracking, inventory, like all those good things for both campuses. So it was all-encompassing on the administrative side of things.
Okay, then what was it about this Concordia job that not only encouraged you to come from the East Coast all the way back to the West Coast, but to get out of administration and back into the coaching realm?
Yeah, I think I knew when I left, Southern California, which is quite heaven in its own sense of the word. It's just a little pricey, but I moved to the opposite coast, and I found myself, although I was associate athletic director on the men's campus, I got into indoor training for softball. I met up with these two gentlemen who opened an indoor facility, and I headed the softball side of it. And as I got, drawn in more and more, and I was spending more time at the indoor facility on top of the 40 hours I was putting in as associate athletic director, I don't quite think softball is out of my blood yet. And so, after I did that year there, I was just like, I have to get back into coaching and give it another go around, because between the travel ball and the indoor training, I was like, it's just, that's where my passion lied. And, fortunately for me, this position opened up, and Portland was actually one of the areas I've always wanted to go to, never visited until my actual interview. So in hindsight, it kind of all works out in the end.
Well, Portland is certainly a beautiful city. I have many friends down there, and I've spent time there, and you certainly have come into a beautiful part of the country. There's no question about that. And also a very rich athletic tradition down there that the Cavaliers are going to add to as they host the GNAC Championships this week at Porter Park down there in Portland. What does it mean to you as the coach and to the Cavaliers program and to the institution for that matter to be selected for the host role for this year's tourney?
I think it means a lot. I mean, first and foremost, I think it's a tremendous stride for the program. We transitioned over from NAI, which, the Concordia Portland institution and in the NAI world has been tremendous. They finished up at Nationals for the NAI and then transitioned over to Division II. And, just going through that transition, I think sometimes people sell it a little bit short and what that transition means and the time that it takes to get the program from a certain level from NAI over to Division II. And then, for us to be picked dead last in the conference and being able to make strides in the off season and do what we need to do through fall and, winning the games we needed to here in the spring season to make tournament itself. And then on top of that, the host, I think it's tremendous as an institution. It just speaks volumes for the quality of, administrators and coaches that we have around in order to make this happen in a matter of a week. We were just notified, I think late last week, that we were going to host this. So I just, I give a lot of credit to our administration for the decision.
And of course, the decision was made because of foul weather conditions there in Billings where the tournament was going to be held. Now, this coming Thursday afternoon, you get your side of the tourney underway when you take on number 2 Western Oregon. When you look at being able to host and then playing your closest GNAC rival, this has got to be extremely exciting in that regard. And I'm expecting, and I think you are as well, probably a pretty good house, a pretty good turnout for that contest. Would that be a fair assessment?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, our matchups a couple weekends ago when we played each other was super tight. I think, you know, I give a lot of credit to Western Oregon. They're a super quality team. They performed, you know, all year long. You know, they're fast. Their outfield is fast. They're top of the lineup, bottom of the lineup, and then they can swing the bats through the middle. So, you know, I think going into it, our outlook is to just kind of take the energy that we had on Sunday and roll it in, not stress ourselves out too much, and just do what we do. I think sometimes we get a little in our own heads and try to be something we're not. And as long as we play, you know, gritty Concordia softball, I think we can be right there and compete.
Well, this time has gone by much, much too quickly tonight, Coach Whitaker, Shelley Whitaker from Concordia University. It's been a joy to be able to talk to you. I hope that we'll have an opportunity to sit down and talk a little more in depth about your time back there in New York at some point on an upcoming GNAC Insider. But until then, good luck to you and the Cavaliers. Have a great tournament down there when you host the GNAC Softball Championships. And I look forward to talking to you again in the not too distant future.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Rob.
Shelley Whitaker joining us tonight from Portland here on GNAC Insider. It is GNAC Insider. I am Robert Lowry, and we're going to turn from softball to golf as Tyler Fitchett from the St. Martin's University golf squad, and he's a good one. He'll join us next on GNAC Insider, so stay tuned.
Make sure to follow the GNAC on social media. Find us on Twitter and Facebook by searching GNAC Sports. And visit us on the web at gnacsports.com. GNAC Insider will be right back.
Now is the perfect time to enjoy a romantic stay at the Coeur d'Alene Resort. Book a Lake Tower room with a cozy fireplace and world-class view of Lake Coeur d'Alene. Take advantage of Beverly's renowned wine cellar and five-star dining. Or enjoy the resort's many luxury amenities, including our award-winning spa, indoor pool, and fitness facility. You just can't beat the view from the Coeur d'Alene Resort. Packages start at just $189. To book your getaway, call or visit cdaresort.com.
Every time a student learns something new, makes a discovery, or helps a team, it's not just good for that student, it's good for the whole community. At St. Martin's University, we know the impact a well-prepared graduate can have on the world. That's why, last year, we extended more than $11 million in scholarships to our students. Because the more we invest in them, the brighter the future becomes for all of us.
Well, now on GNAC Insider, it is my pleasure to be joined by Tyler Fitchett from the St. Martin's golf team, just a sophomore. But, Tyler, you've had an absolutely tremendous year. You ranked ninth in the GNAC in scoring average this season at a 74 clip, which is tops on the St. Martin's team. So congratulations on having that tremendous year.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate that.
Now, you're tied for fourth individually at the GNAC Championships. You tied for fourth, I should say, with a two-over-par total score of 215. That performance helped you earn an invitation to the 2019 NCAA Division II Men's Golf West and South Central Regional coming up May 9th and 11th in St. George, Utah. When you were performing at the GNAC Championships, was that your best rounds of golf on the season when you look back over it now?
I think it was definitely up there, but not exactly my best rounds. I definitely put myself in a good position after the first two rounds, and the third round, the weather came up and I just didn't have my A game. And that prevented me, I think, from having my best performance of the season. But it was definitely up there.
All right. With that one now in the rearview mirror, you're looking ahead down to St. George, Utah for the upcoming regionals. Have you ever played that course down there before? And what are you expecting out of yourself? What kind of scores do you expect out of yourself at the upcoming regionals?
So we have played down there. We had actually the regional preview tournament there in October, and I struggled a little bit. But I'm playing pretty well right now, and you know, every time that I tee it up, no matter, you know, every time I tee it up, I'm trying to win. It doesn't matter if, you know, it's a 9-hole friendly match between me and my teammates or, you know, the regional tournament. That's always my goal. And I know there's going to be a lot of good players there, but I have, you know, the confidence in myself that if I play well, that I can come out on top.
All right. If you are going to come out on top, what kind of scores are you going to have to shoot?
That's a good question. You know, it's hard to say, not knowing how the course is, how tough it's going to be set up, how, you know, how the weather's going to be. But I would say it's going to have to take probably 3 rounds in the mid-60s.
Really? So you will have to have your best rounds of the year down there then, without question.
For sure, no doubt.
Yeah. Do you feel any additional pressure being the only individual from the GNAC to be competing down there? Do you feel like you're carrying the conference mantle, so to speak?
In a way, definitely. You know, being the only individual there, I think, you know, there's going to be some higher expectations. But, you know, those are expectations that I've had of myself since the season started. So I don't think really anything changes in terms of pressure.
Yeah. Now, you have led the Saints throughout this year. And again, you're just a sophomore. Matter of fact, you tallied a pair of top five finishes this year, including an individual title to your credit at the Notre Dame Dane Nemours University Argonaut Invitational in March. So a couple of months ago now, you finished that 3 rounds with a tournament total 2 over, including your opening round 70. When you shot that well in 70 in the early part of the spring season, did you have any inclination you would continue to play so well and play your way into the regionals?
Before that, I thought it was going to take a really good spring to be able to qualify for regionals. But after, you know, that round in that tournament, I knew that I had so much of a better chance that after that win, I could see that regionals is definitely within reach if I continue to play well.
Yeah. Now, what was it? You're a Yakima native. You were all league in both golf and basketball throughout your high school career. First of all, what was it that convinced you that maybe your future, at least collegiately, was in golf and not instead in basketball?
I just enjoyed golf more. I'm sort of a late bloomer when it comes to golf, and I've been playing basketball my whole life. And, you know, it was just, I knew that I was better in golf, and I felt like I had better opportunities in terms of, you know, a better education through golf than basketball. And, you know, I love golf so much more.
That said, and we're talking with Tyler Fitchett, a member of the St. Martin's University golf squad, and he'll be going down to represent the GNAC at the Division II Men's Golf West South Central Regional. What was it about the St. Martin's program that lured you across the mountains from Yakima to Lacey?
Part of it was definitely location. Lacey is just a beautiful little town, and the campus is extremely gorgeous. Another part is our coach, Kevin Bishop, is, you know, you could just, you know, as soon as you meet him, you can tell that he's, you know, full of knowledge, and he runs such a great program here. And I could tell from, you know, looking at their past finishes throughout the conference and the region that, you know, this was a pretty, you know, it was a very storied program, and I knew that it was, you know, it was only going to make me better if I joined, and I did not hesitate to come here once I got the offer.
Now, certainly golf is only part of things that you're doing over there at St. Martin's. You're certainly studying, but what are you studying, and what are your career goals?
So my major is political science, and I plan to either get a master's in public administration, or I'm also thinking about maybe going to law school after.
Have any inspirations to enter the political realm at some point, run for elected office or try to be appointed to some political office at some point in your future?
I get that question a lot when I tell people about my major. That's a bridge, you know, that we'll cross when we get to it. As yeah. Right now, I don't have any plans to do that.
Okay. Well, Tyler, we really appreciate your time here tonight on GNAC Insider. Again, good luck. Carry that GNAC banner and wave it proudly down there at the upcoming Regional Golf Championships. Good luck. And hopefully we'll have an opportunity to talk to you about bringing home a regional title here before too long. That would be outstanding.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Tyler Fitchett joining us tonight from Lacey, a member and a star of the St. Martin's University golf team. Time for us now to wrap up what happened around the GNAC last week in men's golf, staying with that. Western Washington headline last week's action. The Vikings cruised to a win at the GNAC Championships, earning the conference's automatic bid to the NCAA Division II Championships with a 15-stroke victory at Coeur d'Alene. In women's golf, each of the conference's six teams were at the Coeur d'Alene Resort in Coeur d'Alene as well for the GNAC Championships. Erasing a large deficit on the final day, Simon Frazier rallied to win the tournament with a two-round total score of 6-13. In track and field, Jake Knight and Northwest Nazarene highlighted a big week throughout the conference. Knight was named the Men's Field Athlete of the Week after setting the GNAC record in the discus at the Idaho-Utah border clash with a mark of 183 feet. In baseball, each of the conference's six teams were back on the diamond last week. Montana State Billings remains on top of the league, most recently sweeping a four-game series against Central Washington over the weekend. And in softball, Central Washington clinched the GNAC's regular season crown. The Wildcats will be the top seed of the GNAC Championships after finishing the season with a 21-7 record in GNAC play. That's what happened around the Great Northwest Athletic Conference last week. We are now going to turn our attention next to the world of track and field. And one of the fastest GNAC performers ever is going to join us. Grace Bly will zoom aboard on GNAC Insider right after this timeout.
The Wright brothers had a vision to do the impossible. Through perseverance, courage, and drive, their passion took flight. At Concordia University, this kind of revolutionary thinking is part of our DNA. Our MBA students don't learn in a lecture hall. They work as a team on actual case studies. And they appreciate how the evening, weekend, and online options make it easy to fit school into their busy lives. Free textbooks, iPads, and generous scholarships are available too. Concordia MBA grad Dan Reese sums it up like this.
The connections you make in a cohort program are really powerful. You build relationships, you're solving problems together. Everyone makes a commitment to be part of this process. I've built relationships that I know I'll use through the rest of my career.
With a Concordia MBA, students learn to question, challenge, problem solve, and collaborate, thinking in new ways to make a positive impact in the workplace. Let your thought revolution begin at ConcordiaMBA.com. That's ConcordiaMBA.com.
And back on GNAC Insider, it's my honor now to be joined by the defending conference outdoor champion in the 200 meters, Grace Bly from Seattle Pacific University joins us tonight, junior track and field star. Grace, how are you this evening?
Good, how are you?
Well, as I said, billboarding your appearance tonight, you're probably one of the, if not the fastest GNAC performer we've had on GNAC Insider this year. Last year, you won the GNAC Championships with what was then a career best mark of 24.7 seconds. Now, I know that your focus is ahead to this year's GNAC Outdoor Championships. I know that's the case. But if for just a moment, we can go back to last year. You went into the championships last year just as the third seed. You outleaned the field, and you won by 0.04 of a second. How exciting was it for you to win that title last year?
It was a pretty incredible moment. I had definitely worked all year for that, and I wanted it. I wanted it really bad, so I did what I could, and turned out that way. It was an incredible field, and I was running with some really fast ladies, but I got it in the lean, so...
Well, as that is the case, when you only win by less than a blink of an eye, four one-hundredths of a second, I think probably qualifies for that analogy. Did you know, when did you realize that you had won? I'm sure for a moment there must have been some, well, who won?
Yeah, if I remember, I just remember looking at the clock, and I think my name popped up first, and so that's kind of how I knew that I won, but it was pretty incredible. The moment my teammates were there with me, and it was crazy.
Now, that 24.7, you blew that up this year. You went 24.48 at the Brian Clay Invitational on April the 19th. So you obliterated, quite frankly, your previous mark. How much more is in the tank? How far below 24.48 can you go?
I hope a lot. We'll see this weekend what I can do. I've just been training for this. My coaches have prepared me really well for this season and this moment. And what happened at Brian Clay was awesome. It was perfect conditions. Couldn't have gotten better. It was 75, sunny. The wind was just right. So we'll see how it is at UW this weekend. Hopefully, you know, I can keep pushing the envelope, but it's been a good season so far. So,
well, yeah, a good season. You say that at the 38th annual Ralph Wernecke Invitational meet up there in Bellingham. You just came off winning three events there. You won the 100, the 200, and you anchored the 4x4 relay that won as well. So you say your coaches have prepared you well, but it looks like you have taken their training well, and you are in really tip-top form for the championships. Would you agree?
Yeah, and I'm excited just to finish out the season. It's been a long one, but we've been prepared very well, and it's come to practice and work hard. My coaches work hard, and we're just doing the best we can to be the best we can. So
now you talk about your coaches, and I want to bring up one for a moment. Assistant coach and sprints coach Audra Smith there. She had a very interesting quote about you. She said, she, meaning you, Grace Bly, knows and understands where she has to go, how deep she has to go into the pain cage, her words, she has to get in order for her to come out with the results that she's expecting. Let's talk about the pain cage for a minute. What's she talking about there, and how deep do you have to go to get the results you've gotten this year?
Track is it's a brutal sport. Running fast is hard work, and oftentimes people forget how much it hurts to sprint. And I've just learned this season, I run the 1, 2, and 400, and my mentality used to be like, oh, well, the 100 is so much easier than the 200. It's half the distance. The 200 is easier than the 400. But I've definitely learned this season that it all hurts, maybe in different ways, but the 1 is just as hard as the 2. The 200 is just as hard as the 400. And so, like, that pain cage is just being ready to hurt, accept the hurt, and compete through it. It's I've learned a lot. It's hard, and I think I can get a lot better at it. It's definitely a mental game.
Well, it is a mental game along with being physical, but you have also, I think, proven to yourself over the course of your career at Seattle Pacific that you can race with some of the best. I want to go back a couple of years ago, 2017, you had the chance to race against Jenna Prandini, who was actually a 2016 Olympian, in a race that took place down there in Eugene, Oregon at Hayward Field, which is really kind of a mecca when you want to talk about track and field venues. What did you learn about racing an Olympian back then that you have been able to take with you over the last couple of years?
That was a very a special experience for sure. I think it's just more focusing on yourself and focusing on being the best athlete that you can be. You can't control the field. You can't control who you're going to be racing, whether that's another girl from the GNAC or an Olympian. And so I think when you, you know, step out on that track and get ready to get in those blocks, you just have to be prepared to race the best race that you can run and not think about others. So.
Now I have some intel from my moles over there at Seattle Pacific University that said that if you were putting on a little dinner party at your house, the person you'd want to invite is Queen Elizabeth, which I think you're the first GNAC I think you're the first GNAC student athlete I've ever talked to who said that they want to go to dinner with Queen Elizabeth. What is it about the royal family that fascinates you to that extent?
I don't know. They're just, they're so different. We don't have anything like that over here in the States. And so I think, you know, the British monarch is very interesting. It has some very interesting history. And Queen Elizabeth has definitely been around the block a few times. She's a pretty incredible lady. And I think it would just be interesting to talk to her about her experiences and how she's seen the world change.
I have a piece of memorabilia in my collection here that's fairly near and dear to my heart. It's from my grandmother, who actually has a commemorative little tea plate that was given to her upon the inauguration of Queen Elizabeth in 1956. So maybe someday I can show you that. It's really it really is a piece of history that's that gives you kind of a little bit of a chill when you take a look at it. Now, going off that subject, yeah, it really is. It's a cool thing. You're along with all the great things you have done on the track, you've done some great things in the classroom as well there at Seattle Pacific, a 3.75 GPA in exercise science. When your track career is through, and who knows, that may be a ways from now, but when it is, what do you want to do with that exercise science major?
Well, to be completely honest, I'm not sure. I'm still exploring my options as to what I can do with that degree. You know, the future might hold graduate school. Maybe I, you know, just go and start working. But I just hope to, you know, help and empower others through, you know, movement and exercise. I love it. It's made my life amazing. And so I just hope whatever I do, I can impact others in a positive way.
After your collegiate career, do you plan to continue racing unattached?
I haven't thought about it, so I don't know. Maybe, maybe not.
Well, Grace, we really appreciate your time tonight here on GNAC Insider. It's been a delight to talk to you. Continued success on the track. Continue to push through that pain cage, and hopefully you're going to be able to come back with back-to-back championships in the GNAC and the 200, and who knows, maybe take home some more hardware as well. But thanks for joining us tonight. Continued success on the track and in the classroom, and I do hope that we have a chance to talk again. I hope I get a chance to show you that plate someday.
Yes, me too. Well, thank you very much for having me.
Grace Bly joining us from Seattle Pacific tonight here on GNAC Insider, where it's time for us now to go around the Great Northwest Athletic Conference. In outdoor track and field this week, it's going to be highlighted by the GNAC multi-events, which will take place in Ellensburg, Washington. The majority of the conference will be in Seattle, as you heard Grace say just a moment ago, later this week for the Ken Shannon Invitational. In baseball, all six GNAC teams return to competition to complete the regular season. First place Montana State Billings will look to clinch its second consecutive regular season title as it hosts Concordia for a four-game series. In softball, the conference's top four teams will head to Portland for this week's GNAC Championships. The tournament will get underway on Thursday as number two seed Western Oregon faces number three Concordia. Then it's top seeded Central Washington meeting number four seed Northwest Nazarene. Remember that for the latest in the GNAC, all you have to do is go to GNACSports.com to find news and stats, standings, and a ton more Also, please connect with us through social media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at GNAC Sports. We'll wrap up tonight's GNAC Insider, but first, this time out.
Remember, if you don't catch us live, listen to GNAC Insider over iTunes or at GNACSports.com. GNAC Insider will be right back.
Seattle Pacific University is a premier Christian university where each year 4,000 students catch a vision for making a difference in the world. All across the globe, SPU graduates are making an impact in medicine, technology, athletics, business, education, music, theater, and more. SPU is dedicated to outstanding scholarship and thoughtful faith. It's a powerful combination that brings about change in the lives of graduates and in the people and communities they serve. Seattle Pacific University, engaging the culture, changing the world.
Well, just time to once again thank our guests on tonight's GNAC Insider, Seattle Pacific sprinter Grace Bly, St. Martin's men's golf standout Tyler Fitchett, and Concordia softball head coach Shelley Whitaker. Thanks to each of them for joining us tonight here on GNAC Insider. Also, thanks to our producer Connor Pelton for another job well done. Thanks to GNAC Commissioner Dave Haglund and the entire staff of the Great Northwest Athletic Conference office. And as always, thanks to you for joining us. We're back your way next week, 7 p.m. Pacific time, Tuesday night, for our next episode of GNAC Insider. Until then, I'm Robert Lowry, and you can consider yourself a GNAC Insider. So long, pal.
Been listening to GNAC Insider, an update on the NCAA's Great Northwest Athletic Conference. Remember to follow the GNAC through social media. To find us on Facebook or Twitter, search GNAC Sports and locate us on the web at GNACSports.com. GNAC Insider is a production of the Great Northwest Athletic Conference.